Looking for a more affordable way to own in 2026? With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new home for just £26 before the 26th January. Lower upfront costs, modern, stylish homes, and a clearer path onto the property ladder, making it easier than ever to step into home ownership. Find out more at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens, the show where we are digging into the archives to unearth some gems from conversations past. So today I'm looking at and listening back to a chat I had with a man who I've spoken to many times, and I have to say is my number two guest of all time. Now, I say that because, as he told me, he's all about number two. I'm talking about Mike Rowe, who you absolutely know from his insanely popular show, Dirty Jobs, where every episode he rolled up his sleeves and got into the muck and got into some deep areas of some farm animals alongside America's essential workers. But as depth as this guy is with a well-timed poo joke, he also genuinely cares about the people who keep our world running and flushing. The show isn't like, oh, look at this crazy person doing this crazy thing. It's all about celebrating the fact that there is someone trained to do this essential work to make our lives more comfortable. And he isn't just putting them on his show, he is supporting them in a big way. He's got a foundation called Mike Rowe Works, and through that organization, he's helped fund scholarships for men and women pursuing skilled trades to close the gap between talent and opportunity, as he says. And this isn't just, a media opportunity, a pat on the back. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars raised and donated so that people can learn these trades. So I had a chat with him back in 2022 as he was gearing up for a new post-pandemic season of Dirty Jobs. Now, this is a time when I think we all really, really, really learned the importance of skilled workers because, man, you can't fix a broken furnace over Zoom. It's just not happening. So Mike and I talked about a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to start with him describing the evolution of the show Dirty Jobs, because this clip ends with some advice that I think we could all stand to listen to.
You know, it's funny. We got through the worst of it as far as smell goes in the first couple seasons. I had a list of particularly disgusting adventures I was determined to embark upon, and we checked all the boxes. And then the show kind of morphed from exploding toilets and misadventures and animal husbandry into more of a crucible of pain and derring do. You know, we were in some very high places and some very low places and some very physical tasks, and that kind of was the groove into which we settled. And we wrapped things up late in 2012, and I swore I would never do this again because, like you, I'm older than I've ever been. But here we are nearly 10 years later. I'm still more or less the same. The show hasn't changed, but the country's in a different spot.
Right.
As far as production goes, the people we find, well, I started looking for the jobs I wanted to profile, but once those were exhausted, we turned everything over to the viewer. Every suggestion, every tip, everything comes from the fans of the show.
Mm.
And that's the other thing that makes it weirdly connected. You know, the fans have always been a very loyal bunch. And for that reason, the fans host it, the fans program it, the fans watch it, and we just try and stay out of the way. I mean, full disclosure, you know, when you run out of ideas, you can either admit it or pretend you haven't. And in my experience, there's no real upside in pretending
you have an idea
when you don't. Best just to admit it.
So one of the things that I really love about speaking with Mike is that you could throw him any question, no matter how gross or stupid. And if you listen to my show, you know that I'm full of those kinds of questions. And I kind of like went on a mini rant with him because I was wondering about the psychology of revulsion. Specifically, I have a dog, and, you know, dogs do their business, and you've got this little plastic bag, and you scoop it up, and you go on with your day, and it's not a big deal. But I noticed that I live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of dogs, and we often help each other out. Hey, can you walk my dog? I'm going to be away. And I noticed that when I was cleaning up after a neighbor's dog, I found it really disgusting. Like, for some reason, cleaning up after my dog, no problem. But cleaning up after someone else's dog, blech. So I asked Mike if he could shed some light on just what was going on in my brain. And of course, he had a very thoughtful answer, which segued into a quite hilarious story. So hang on. This is worth the listen.
I think if I were to really try and unpack all of that, there's some kind of inverse shame algorithm going on.
Okay.
Like, we know in the reptilian part of our brain that we, all of us, are that other dog, and that we are disgusting, and that our crap is disgusting. And we know that. We're the only ones who, you know, can smell our own farts and go, oh, you know, that's not so bad. Or, no, that's bad, but that's mine, and I did that, and that's so bad, it's good. But deep down, we know we're just a bag of bones and full of holes, all of which leak, and some of which get out of our control, and this business of multiple sphincters failing, and, you know, it all comes down in so many cases to an O-ring.
Right.
A faulty O-ring is just this tiny little bit of tissue between dignity, remorse, and humiliation. And so I think the business of picking up our own dog's crap is an extension of dealing with our own crap, and we're okay with that.
Yeah.
But the minute we see some invader, some alien crap, we're subliminally reminded that's us as well. And so we hate that thing. We hate that turd. We love our turd.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. You've given me a lot to think about it. And the next time I feel the warm warmth through that thin plastic bag of Vinny across the street, I'm gonna think of you, Mike.
I'll give you a moment regarding dog crap that I think your listeners might enjoy or possibly relate to.
Please.
I have a terrier, and I used to live in the city in San Francisco, and I'd walk this dog around, and he, for whatever reason, if he saw a dog's not welcome or don't pee here sign, I think he can read, right? Because he runs right over and he pisses all over it. And if he has to take a dump, he will wait until he's right in front of somebody's doorstep or right in front of somebody's driveway. And ideally, he likes an audience. So he'll wait until people are looking at him, and then he'll quickly stop and he'll drop a deuce right in front of somebody's doorstep. So I've learned this about the little bastard, you know? And so I have this... I've got this plastic bag in my hand, and I got my hand in it, right? So, I mean, I'm ready for action.
Yeah.
And the dog does a quick spin, drops right in front of the door jamb. There are half a dozen people looking at me. And to my shame, I reach down, and I put my hand inside of the bag right under his ass, and I caught the turd before it hit the ground. Because you know, you got a dog. If you pick up the dog crap in the street or on the sidewalk,
yeah,
all you get is a smear, a terrible skid mark. So I catch the turd in midair, and I'm feeling it's a weird mix of, hey man, that was a good grab, nicely done, Mike, to, dude, you're a grown man catching dog crap in midair, combined with this group of six people across the street walk over. And they've got their cell phones out, and they're filming this, and they're like, excuse me, but are you Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs? And I'm like, take a wild guess.
God.
I mean, it's one thing to pick up your dog's crap. It's another thing to be filmed catching it in midair from his anus. And until that happens, Dan, I'm not sure we should go much further.
Yeah. I told you it was worth waiting for, but if you didn't like that story, I don't know what to say. You and I just can't be friends. Well, to wrap things up with Mike, I asked him about his foundation, MicroWorks, which has raised and donated millions and millions of dollars in scholarships to people to learn skilled labor. And I said, you know, Mike, you're a good guy. you're helping out the world. And here's what he had to say about that notion of being a, quote, good guy.
You know what? I'm okay. I think given enough time, if they have some good fortune and some success and any conscience at all, they'll be afflicted in some way. And they'll want to do something to give back. Or in my case, I mean, I have a weird business, you know, from an entrepreneurial standpoint. I do a lot of different things. And speaking perfectly selfishly and honestly about it, I realized early on that I couldn't just be the guy who went out there and told stories about catching his dog's poop in midair or feces from every species and all these other things that are dirty jobs related. There had to be a point to it. And initially that point was, you know, the whole show was a tribute to my granddad. Mm. But then I thought, I think there can be an even bigger point. And that's what this is. And that honestly is why the show is coming back after 10 years being out of production. It gives me permission, really, to talk about the foundation with people like you, and to, you know, it's impossible to promote dirty jobs without promoting how America works on Fox Business and Micro Works, you know, my foundation, and Somebody's Got to Do It, which is also out there in production. So, you know, thinking like an entrepreneur, which I assume is still of some interest to your audience, there was a mercenary position in a missionary play. Right. I think there's a missionary and a mercenary position in just about everything.
Right.
And both those positions are underrated, FYI.
The underrated qualities of the missionary position, you know what? I'm going to leave that right there. If you want to hear more from Mike, I heartily recommend you check out his very funny podcast, The Way I Heard It. And while you're doing podcasty things, I also heartily suggest you give us a star rating and subscribe if you haven't, and leave us a comment, which I will read on this show and make you a star. And another way to be on this show, if you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll have the chance to answer the question of the week and have your answer read on the show. So subscribe at info.entrepreneur.com/HSH. I read that rather slowly. I don't know why, but I hope it gave you enough time to write it down. info.entrepreneur.com/HSH. As always, you can check out more from me by reading articles on entrepreneur.com or my Substack. This Should Be Fun. And if you're digging the sweet, sweet sounds of this theme song, you can check out more from the band responsible for it, Nika RPM, on Bandcamp. All right, you've got a lot of homework to do, including possibly, if you have a dog, catching a turd in midair. So good luck to you in that endeavor, and I'll see you next time.